All right, there we go. We're live. It's the Android Headline Show, episode 94. My name's Jeremiah. I'm joined tonight by Nick and Alex from the site. You guys want to say what's up?
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, so if I can find my unmute button, sorry.
Yeah, you know, technical difficulties. We're starting a couple minutes late tonight because Hangouts decided to crash everything on Alex's computer, so he had to go restart everything. So, you know, we have a really great track record with Google Hangouts, so that's why we keep using it. I'm kidding. But we got a fun show for you tonight. There's been a lot of really great stuff, including notification sounds. Those are pretty fun. We had, let's see, HTC released a hip-hop video this week. We're not really going to go into a whole lot of that, but you can find that on the site. It was ridiculous. It was awesome and really awful and, yeah. So, what else? There was something else that I was thinking about that I wanted to mention at the top of the show. And I don't remember what it is. It's just been that kind of a week. It'll come back to me. We're going to talk about Amazon maybe buying Radio Shack stores. Don't have to worry about that because Sprint is buying all of Radio Shack stores because Radio Shack declared bankruptcy today. Verizon is making some changes to their rate plans. There's a whole bunch of hardware leaks for the HTC M9 and the Galaxy S6. Some Android malware or adware, more accurately. And Google Now got a pretty big update, allowing some integration with like 40 third-party apps, and that I'm sure will grow. So that's really cool integration with Google Now. But Alex, man, talk to us about some of this new stuff.
So with Radio Shack, we've been hearing for, I think, pretty much most of 2015 that either Sprint or Amazon is going to buy about half of their stores. I didn't get a chance to read up on the Sprint deal earlier today, but I think it's still for half of them. I think Radio Shack might be trying to keep the other half and to, you know, to get out of bankruptcy later on.
Nope. I read just like an hour and a half ago maybe, that Sprint is buying all of the Radio Shack locations. It's like, I think, 1,100. Or no, there's 1,800 Radio Shack locations. They're adding them to the 1,100 Sprint retail locations that already exist. So Radio Shack is done, and Sprint thinks that they can, I guess, improve their lot in life by having more places customers can go into.
I don't know when the last time I went to a carrier store was, but I guess that'll work.
Or Radio Shack, right?
But yeah, Amazon was looking to buy them, you know, so they can compete with Apple. It's actually what they said, but it's, you know, really just to compete with everybody. Best Buy, although Best Buy is trying to compete with them. What were you going to say, Nick?
I was going to say, the retail store thing is interesting because I had maybe a mile down the road or so, there was a Verizon store in like a, you know, a strip mall type of thing. They closed out of the strip mall and they went and built their own building right down the road from me, like even closer. So they're doing it too, apparently. Just decide they want to build their own store, build more of them.
Yeah, the Sprint stores around here, there's like nobody there. Even the employees aren't there. I hardly ever see employees there.
I just can't see a Verizon store being built on its own, being a lucrative thing. It was kind of weird to me. And then, you know, the whole Radio Shack thing, like I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I don't know the last time I stepped foot in a Radio Shack.
I saw a Radio Shack, I think the last time I was in New York. I haven't seen one around here in a long time.
They're like payphones. It's you stop and take a picture of them when they show up.
I see more payphones than Radio Shacks.
And so the I think what Sprint is looking to do is in those Radio Shack locations, they're going to turn a third of the floor space into basically like a small Sprint store, and then leave two-thirds of the floor space as a Radio Shack pretty much the way they are now. Because, you know, that did so well for Radio Shack.
Yes. Okay. Well, whatever floats your boat, guys.
I guess.
They'd not like be spending a lot of money to be waving around anyway, right?
And they'd be better off taking that money and sinking it into their network, not building out retail space.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you hear what Marcelo said today? That his network can compete with everybody else?
Good luck.
Yep, and then he woke up and realized he was dreaming.
Because he said T-Mobile was in for a rude awakening because his network can compete with AT&T and T-Mobile. And he said he doesn't care if he's number 3 or 4. So I guess he doesn't care what Sprint does then. Already he just gave up being number 1.
I guess. Yeah, he's making millions of dollars either way, so it's not a big deal to him.
He just spouts stuff, whatever.
Oh, fun times.
So, on to Verizon. They didn't really introduce anything, but they improved some of their plans. I think this was yesterday. I think it went into effect today. But they've dropped some prices on some of their plans. So now, like, the 1 gigabyte tier is now 30 instead of $40. With the Verizon Edge, you'll get $25 off with the 6 gigabyte or higher. For the 4 gigs or lower, it's still the same 15 that it was before. And they've also added in some more data buckets. So you got 6, 8, 12, 14, and 16 as well now. Instead of just going, I think it went from 4 to 18 or 20 gigabytes before. So there's that if you're on Verizon.
Yeah, and if you're a somewhat late user, you're on that 1 gig plan or you're looking to use that 1 gig plan, save yourself $10 on it. I think this is interesting that they're doing this because they just said the other day they don't really care. If you want to leave, leave. They're not there to save you money. And they weren't really going to do anything to compete with T-Mobile or AT&T. So now they're changing their plans.
It's funny because this Verizon article, like all the ads around it are Sprint, and it's the same Sprint ad.
Yeah, well, that's where Sprint is spending their money, I guess.
Yep.
So Verizon actually does care a little bit. No, that's true, they don't. I'm lying.
They only care if you're leaving them. But it's nice to see it go down. I mean, $30 for a gigabyte of data, and that doesn't even include like the fee for your phone to access that gigabyte, still kind of high. That's about what I pay for 3 gigabytes on T-Mobile.
Yep, yep. If you're in an area where you need Verizon, it is what it is. You got to deal with it.
Yep.
But, well, Nick, man, talk to us about some hardware stuff this week.
All right, so we got. I feel almost like it's more of the same, but there's plenty of new stuff. So we have the M9 and the S6, which these both will be announced soon, so we can shut up about them once they're actually done. But the M9 feels like it's getting a little more solid now as far as the rumors coming through and the leaks and that sort of thing. So the one that came through today or yesterday, I can't remember, it's a gold color. Similar kind of frame, looks just like the M7 and the M8, a little more rounded off like the M8 is. On the back, we have a big square camera and no duo camera, which I thought was interesting. I don't really know why they would do away with the duo camera other than maybe cost, especially if they're going to be doing a large front-facing camera like they did on the Desire Eye. So I guess if we're talking like a 13 megapixel in the front and like a 20 on the back or something like that, then that would make a lot of sense.
I think the front might be an ultra pixel, like the one from CES. I can't remember what number Desire that was, but it had a 4 megapixel ultra pixel on the front.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking they might do that this time around with that as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that being their main camera last time around, you're still talking a fair amount of cost.
Yeah.
Not having to add another thing to it, too. And who knows, maybe if they're using a different sensor.
I mean, the dual camera can't cost too much. It's only, I think, 2 megapixels or something like that, and it's, regular size. It's not extra big like the Ultra is.
It could also be some weird compatibility thing, like maybe it only works with a smaller megapixel, like an ultra pixel camera.
Or they're
going to be pushing a bigger.
Or they need to rewrite some code because that's a Sony sensor this time around instead of their own sensor.
Instead of the Omnivision, Yep, who knows? So, and then the latest leaks did not show the front. So I'm thinking that home button or fingerprint sensor or whatever it is, that looks like it's on the larger one, does it not?
It's only on the larger one. The the image EvLeaks put out is only on the larger one. So it's kind of like the M7 and M7 Max.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really care for the home button look. I mean, as long as it's not a physical home button, though, whatever. It's not that big of a deal, but that'll throw some people off for sure if they have that thing there and it's not actually a button.
I'm not sure about it being a fingerprint scanner either, because it's not like it's not that tall. It's more like wide, you know. Because Droidlife was talking about this on their podcast last week. It's like not really wide enough for you to put your thumb on it. Unless it's another swiping thing, and if it's like that, I don't even want to be bothered.
Yeah, just don't do that. If you're going to have to do that, just don't do it at all, please. It's such a waste of time.
The only swiping fingerprint scanner I've used that actually worked well was Huawei's on the Ascend Mate 7.
Yeah, I've only used one phone besides the iPhone 6 with a fingerprint scanner. My brain's dead. Sorry, which one was it? The
MX4
Mizu,
Pro.
The newest Mizu.
The MX4 Pro.
Yes, thank you. I'm like, what the heck was that thing called? I feel terrible.
And that thing worked really well. Even though you just press it, it still worked really well, at least for me.
It worked really. The thing was quick. I could not believe how fast it was. And it was accurate, too. You could put your thumb like sideways on it and stuff, and it would do it. So, I don't know. Hopefully, if they're going to go with one, they go with a nice one like that instead of a crappy one like some of the Samsung ones instead of cheaper phones. And then speaking of Samsung, more Galaxy S6 stuff. And this time, it definitely looks like they're going more premium. So, we have the metal frame, which looks very similar to the A series. So, the A3, A5, A7, and the Alpha. All of those are super thin, and this is supposedly 6.9 millimeters thin, which is ridiculous. I think that's right around iPhone 6 level, is it not? I can't remember how thin that thing is.
It might be thinner than iPhone 6, but we'll have to do a
better. I think I'll look it up. I should have looked it up before, but whatever, doesn't matter. So it's at that point, who even cares? It's obnoxious. It'll be interesting to see how much of a camera bump there is on it, if that's the case. As far as other hardware goes, obviously 64-bit chips, looking at 64-bit Exynos. If they end up going with the Snapdragon, of course, that'll be the 64-bit one as well. Camera's supposed to be 20 megapixel.
It'll be about this thick, because this is like 6.1 millimeters.
Yeah.
The iPhone 6 is 6.9.
So okay, so it's the same size as the iPhone 6, basically.
Yeah.
Well, thickness, anyway. 20 megapixel camera will be interesting, because it's supposed to be going back to their ISOCELL stuff. And I was not crazy about the ISOCELL sensor. The one they used in the Note 4 was way better, that Sony one. So it'll be interesting to see if they do use their own again and if they significantly improved it over last time. Last thing is supposed to be the big thing. It's their mobile payment system. I know when I first heard about this, I'm just, giant eye roll. Come on, guys. Just please use Google Wallet. Quit being stupid. But what they seem to have done is implement more of a Loop Pay type of system, which I don't know if you guys have seen Loop Pay yet. I actually have one for review that is on my checklist here eventually. But basically the way that thing works is it's a little box, and obviously this will be built into the S6 if this is the case. And you put it next to the magnetic reader on any terminal whatsoever, any terminal that has a magnetic strip reader, and it basically transfers a magnetic whatever. I don't know what the heck's wrong with me tonight. It has a magnetic transfer, basically, instead of trying to do NFC. So you're talking basically 100% compatibility with everything right out of the box, instead of having to have people replace their pay centers and do an entire overhaul of their system and all this crap. So that's something that they would have a huge leg up on everybody if they ended up doing.
How secure is that? That's the
I wouldn't think
million-dollar question, right?
From, Yeah, I wouldn't. What's the difference between that and a magnetic strip? If anything, I would think it'd be more secure because you can't get the card to swipe, right? You have to. I mean, it literally has to touch the magnetic strip. So instead of swiping your card, you literally just tap your phone on the strip part of the reader.
Okay. Yeah, that's really interesting. That's I'm curious about how the technology works, how the security is implemented, and that kind of thing.
It works really well for LoopPay when they were showing me it at CES. Like, it's really quick. It's not like you have to sit there and hold it and wait. It's pretty, like, you just tap and you're done. It's no big deal. So I would really love to see them do that and kind of wow everybody, because it's been a while since Samsung, I think, really wowed everybody with anything.
Well, and that's the key to mobile payments. You know, Apple made it. Google Wallet never really took off because you had to pull out your phone, open the app, enter your PIN or, you know, enter your PIN code to get into the app. And then sometimes you got to, you know, select your credit card. With Apple Pay, you just put your thumb on the deal, on the Touch ID sensor and go. So if there was a way to do that with a magnetic strip, just pull out your phone and lay it up against the magnetic strip without really having to open anything or... Yep. That would be a huge bump for mobile payments and for Samsung. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and Samsung's good about using NFC for a bunch of other stuff too, so I wouldn't feel totally abandoned by them going with that. If anything, again, it's better because you have 100% compatibility right out of the box, basically.
Yep.
And then of course, poor Alex is happy about this, but supposedly they're going to be announcing the S6 2 hours after the M9 gets announced. So
it's 2.5.
Prepare your chicken running skills.
Prepare your Sunday morning, because HTC is at 4 p.m. That's like 10 a.m., I think, our time. And then the S6 is at 12:30 Eastern time, so, and that's on a Sunday.
Yes, I will make sure that my calendar is blocked off.
There's others going on that day, too, but those are two big ones.
Yep.
Haven't heard anything from Sony just yet, but it'll probably be Sunday as well.
Yeah, it's on there for sure.
Because Monday's technically when the show opens, so.
Yeah, you said MWC is absolutely insane. Just everything packed into one day, it seems like.
Everything is packed at the same time. Because Pepcom and Showstoppers are at 4 and 7, and that's the same time as HTC and Samsung. So I can't even go to those. Mozilla's having an event at like 6. Samsung's at 6:30, so can't go to that. I don't really need to go to that anyways, but yeah, everything's at the same time.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of cool stuff that you know, it'd be cool to get into, and scheduling conflicts, you know? Very interesting. I wonder why, because it's not always been like that in years past. You know, stuff's been staggered on different days or at least different times.
It's always, like, back to back to back, but this time, like, nobody's actually at the hall where Lower Congress is. Like, everybody's got their own place outside of that. Like, HTC is about 30 minutes south of that place, and Samsung is, like, 20 minutes north. So that's quite the bit of travel time right there. Especially if you haven't rented a car or something there, because then you got to catch a cab or something like that.
Yeah, fun times. Fun times. Well, that's going to be exciting for you. That's coming up, what, a week? 2 weeks?
No, it's like the 27th when I leave.
Oh, end of the month, okay.
Yeah. Although next week we have a Xiaomi's event.
That's what it was, yes. Because I knew next week we've got the guy from Yahoo Weather is going to be on the show with us. We'll be interviewing him.
Yep, you got to plug that.
Yeah, I mean, we moved that up, so we are going to have Yahoo back on to talk about the Yahoo Weather app on the 19th, and just found out yesterday that we need to move that up to next week, and I know, Alex, you're not going to be here because of that Xiaomi event,
Yep. So
me and Nick will be handling that interview with Yahoo, but yeah, we'll get some more info out about that as well. But let's talk about some software stuff, man. The biggest thing, I think, that kind of made a lot of headlines, but not necessarily isn't as bad as some of the stuff we've heard of in the past, is with this Android malware, or like adware, I guess, is more accurate. Avast Antivirus found a couple of apps on the Google Play Store that were just really nasty with how they handled ads. The apps, after a week or two, sometimes after as long as 30 days, would just start running crazy ads. The app would be totally closed out on your phone, but all of a sudden you got a full screen ad pop up for no, you know, and it was tied to one of a couple of different apps.
Showbox actually used to do that because of, like, if I, when we start to hang out here, it rings all my phones, and after I answer it on my computer, the ad would start playing on the phone that I have Showbox open on from, like, last night, and I wouldn't even know what's going on because it's on, like, the other side of the room.
Yep. This time they found it on a card game called Durac. There was, what were the other two apps? I'm trying to look them up real quick. Because there were two other ones they specifically singled out. I don't see it listed here. I'll have to pull it up. But it wasn't overtly malicious code. It just is like really annoying ads that pop up. There was an IQ test and a history app. And those are still, oh, no, okay, so they've been pulled. I say this originally ran, Avast posted this on their blog 2 days ago. As of yesterday, the apps were still available in the Play Store. All three of them have now been pulled. So Google went in and pulled them. They had been downloaded, those three apps had been downloaded like 5+ million times each. So it was affecting a lot of users. And it just makes for a bad Android experience, you know? If you got ads popping up on your phone full screen, you can't figure out why or what's going on. It's going to drain your battery.
Data and usage.
Yeah. Use up your data and just generally confuse people. So Google has those pulled now. But it's kind of the way that Google handles the Play Store, it's kind of a free-for-all, wild, wild west, so to speak, is a good thing, but it also can present issues like this. Those three apps have been pulled, but if you had one of those three, or if you're concerned, do a check periodically. If there's apps that you're not using, even if you're sure that they're not malicious or running crazy ads, delete them off your phone, man. No sense in having extra stuff installed anyway.
Yep.
The other big thing with software stuff this week was Google Now. It has opened up to third-party integration. Apps like Pandora and eBay and Lyft. There were like 40 apps initially. Hootsuite and Waze and Mint. The full list is up on the Google search blog. But you'll get Google Now notifications from those apps, just like you do, notifications from Google and from your other Google apps. And that integration will continue to grow. Now that Google has opened this up to third parties, you can catch up on. The example they use is like news from The Guardian. If you have The Guardian app installed, you'll get news from The Guardian right there. Pandora will give you recommendations for music to listen to. Google Music already does that. I still get, I get recommendations regularly from Google now through the Google Music app. But, pretty cool that Google's opened that up. Are there any apps you guys would like to see integrated with that?
TripIt.
Yeah.
I use that for all my itineraries. It's all in one spot. I don't have to go looking for the email, because usually it's multiple emails. And it's just all right there in TripIt. But I was kind of surprised Uber wasn't here, since it's integrated in Google Maps. You can call it Uber Car straight from Google Maps, at least on Android you can. So yeah, I was kind of surprised not to see that here.
That is surprising. I think in general, speaking of trips, I think I would just like a little better trip integration, because I know my Vegas stuff for CES never showed up on Google Now. I had to go look it up in Inbox every time.
Whenever I have a flight, it almost never shows up, and it typically only shows up like an hour or two before your flight, so you're usually already at the airport. But it never, sometimes it just never showed up. I think both the trips to Beijing didn't show up at all, but yeah, like all my trips to New York, it did.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I've had airline flights and train, when I've taken the train for work. Like I went up to Philly a few months ago for work, and that stuff all popped up like 3 or 4 hours beforehand for me. So
what I'd really like to see is, you know, like the little barcode thing that's on your boarding pass, put that into Google Now. You know, so you don't have to use the Delta app or pretty much any other app.
Yeah,
because now with Delta, you can do it straight from your watch. Although I couldn't, because both my Delta flights were international, so that they wouldn't let me do that. I had to go print out the thing.
But still. So you mentioned Uber. Now, Lyft integration is in there.
Yeah, that's how I was surprised about Uber.
Airbnb is another one. So, like, when you're traveling, Airbnb can pop up. Places where you can stay, locations and dates that you've searched for. So there is some more travel stuff, Nick.
Yeah, Lincoln and Ford have their apps in here as well. You've got Duolingo in here, The Economist. Let's see. There's some other ones too. They're, like, they have all the icons here, and I don't recognize a lot of the icons.
Yeah. And some of it, you know, you may not even realize until you get a notification. Hey, that app is integrated with Google Now.
iHeartRadio is another one I'd like to see in there, because I pretty much just use iHeartRadio and Google Play Music.
Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Anything else big this week that we missed? I know we mentioned that HTC Hip Hop video at the top of the show. Because that thing is just ridiculous and hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, Sprint added a bunch of customers and lost a bunch of money. But they only added like 20,000 postpaid. It was mostly all prepaid. So John Ledger's making fun of that, saying we got 1 million prepaid, you guys got 20,000 postpaid. Or, you know, postpaid versus postpaid, instead of just overall customers versus overall customers that they added in those quarters.
Yeah, Sprint's adding a ton of Boost and Virgin Mobile customers.
Well, they also have Sprint prepaid as well now. Like on Amazon, when I'm looking for our deals, I'll see Sprint prepaid, then you'll see Virgin Mobile and Boost Mobile. So there's three of them now.
Yep, and the margins are thinner on prepaid stuff. So
Loss, I think it was like $2.5 billion operating loss, which is about four times what it was a year before that, because it was like $576 million, I think. So,
jeez.
They kept the number four spot, I think. But I think they have like a 100,000 customer cushion right now on top of T-Mobile.
Not for long. Yep.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Then, but I think that's about it, because it was pretty much all earnings week, last week and this week.
Oh, did you guys see the new Android numbers? The install base for...
I only looked at Lollipop. Well, I did see Gingerbread is down to like 7% finally.
Yeah, and Lollipop's only at like... Lollipop's only at like 1.5.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that, because like it's mostly just Nexus and Moto X until this week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because it started... Lollipop started rolling out to the Galaxy S5 and a couple other devices this week, too.
The M7 and M8 today, well, the Sprint M7 and Sprint GS5 and Verizon GS5 are out now. If you go to Best Buy, you can get it installed on your GS5 no matter what carrier you have, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Not bad.
Cool. And,
more Lollipop updates. Maybe OnePlus's ROM will drop next week, Oxygen OS.
Yeah, the 12th, you said, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's what that means, but it just says Oxygen OS February 12th, so I don't know what else to take that as.
I think they're just going to announce it.
Yeah, well, whatever. As long as I see something about it. It's next week when... I think that's the date, isn't it? The day we have the podcast, 12th?
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. Everything's on the 12th next week.
Yeah, works for me. Cool. We'll be able to talk about it then. And then, of course, the net neutrality stuff this week was pretty freaking huge.
Yeah, so we didn't even mention that with news stuff. So the FCC is going to be presenting some changes to make the internet a utility, basically, to reclassify it under the Tier 2 utility stuff. So broadband is going to be they put a number to broadband. I think it was like 4 megs to 25 megs download and 4 megs upload.
Yes.
Yeah, I know it's 25 down. I'm not sure about up.
Yeah,
Yeah, anything that or faster is considered broadband, and that's going to be classified as a utility. They've got to put it to a vote. The FCC's, you know, they got to vote on it. Tom Wheeler's got all that stuff drafted. He actually wrote a big post, and it went up on Wired. So once they vote on it, then if it passes through the FCC, then the carriers will all go crazy and unleash their lawyers and fight it for a while. So another big thing with that is that Tom Wheeler included mobile broadband. So your cell phone and air cards and all the mobile data that you use would also be classified as a utility. He didn't leave out mobile. So that's a huge deal. Not only are they fighting, you know, Comcast and AT&T and Verizon Fios for home service, landline broadband, the FCC will also be fighting wireless carriers for all this stuff. Now, Google has went on record and said that whether or not the FCC reclassifies broadband as a utility and regulates it more heavily, it's not going to affect their rollout of Google Fiber. So, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But Tom Wheeler has finally said this is the right thing to do. Net neutrality needs to happen. No fast lanes, no slow lanes. You're not allowed to do any of that. It's basically going to be, you know, classified like your telephone line or your electricity or whatever. So,
thank God.
Yep.
It's about time. I just wish other countries had the kind of speeds that I have here.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at like the speed tests in Barcelona now, and they're better than Beijing, but man.
You got to go to either Scandinavia, so like Norway, Sweden, or Japan, South Korea, you know, like Southeast Asia.
You need to go to Kansas City, get some fiber.
Yeah, gigabit fiber. That's what I need in my life.
I mean, I'm fine with the 125 from Sprint, but when you get down to like one or two, because that's why I wasn't even using that much in Beijing. I was getting like 10 kilobytes.
Yeah, well, that's a different story in China. So.
Yep, and that's pretty much the same as it is in Barcelona, which sucks.
Well, Alex, tell me what's new in your Android world, man. What you got new this week?
I have the Xperia Z3 Compact, finally.
Nice.
But just to show the different size, I don't know how much you can see it, really. It's a bit smaller. The sides are a bit more plasticky. At least they feel like they're plastic compared to the Z3, which is all metal on the sides. I really like the size, actually. It feels really nice in the hand, and it doesn't get as cold as like the Z3 does when it's cold outside, probably because of the metal. But yeah, it's basically the Z3, but smaller, you know, all the same specs, the 21 megapixel camera on the back, 2600 milliamp battery. It doesn't completely work on T-Mobile. Does, because it's just a 21 on T-Mobile, but not 42 or LTE.
Okay.
Also got the Dell Venue 8. I'm not sure if I talked about it last week or not.
Yeah, you mentioned that real briefly.
Yeah. It's the one for CES. I'm still really impressed with it. The OLED display is really nice. And then I have the Inatec hi-fi speaker here. Got it yesterday, I think. Pretty decent speaker so far. I mean, nothing too fancy about it, but I think that's about it.
Can we talk for a minute about how the how Inatec sounds like the company from Office Space?
I don't know what Office Space is.
What? Oh my gosh! Oh, come man. On, man.
You're right. It does, though.
Yep.
They make like everything.
That was Inatec. Initech is the company from Office Space. If you haven't seen Office Space, you need to. Yeah. You need to get off the show right now and go watch that.
And that may very well be the play, you know. Maybe you're going to play on work kind of thing.
Could be. Could be. Cool. Well, Nick, what's new with you, man?
I got two little goodies. First one is the XY Bluetooth Smart Beacon. So this is basically one of those things where you can attach to your keychain. You set up the app. If you lose it, you open up the app and find the keys kind of thing. I haven't played with it yet. I just got it like 2 days ago, so I'm looking forward to throwing out all my keys and throwing them in the backyard or something and hopefully finding them, or maybe I won't throw them in the backyard so I can actually find them just in case, you know. But I like the idea of that, and I've always wanted to try one of those tag things or whatever, but for the longest time they didn't work for Android, so I never got around to bothering with them. I think they do now, but it's a great idea to use for this kind of technology. And then the second thing I got is the Xiaomi, the Redmi 2, which I just got yesterday. So I put together a little first impressions kind of post. It's basically a smaller version of the Redmi Note. It's a slightly upgraded version of the Redmi 1S. So if any of you guys out there have ever played with one of those, pretty much know what to expect. It's MIUI 6. So, hey, it's too bright. Forget it. It's not going to show up on the screen, but... It's MIUI 6, and it's nice to actually use it on a final product, because when I was using the beta version of the Mi 4, there was a lot of stuff missing, particularly in the camera app. It was like half the features missing, and they're all in here. So, very good. It's like $120 for the phone. It's very impressive for $120 so far. Very, very impressive.
Nice. That's what's up. New with me this week... I got a new speaker from Lugu Lake. It's fancy and gold. Speakers are on the end. It's got like a shelf here in the middle where you can pop your phone up. And then all the controls and stuff are on the back. So it sounds pretty good. And it's surprisingly convenient having a place to put your phone when you're playing music with Bluetooth. If you don't need to, you know, have your phone with you. If I'm ever using a speaker like outside, my phone just ends up, you know, laying on the railing or the deck next to the speaker. So it's actually pretty cool having that shelf to put your phone on. I also bought a headphone amp. So I've been kind of playing around with lots of different headphones. And I picked up some new Sennheiser headphones, the HT558s. I got to go get those tomorrow, I think, from Best Buy. But see how they sound compared to these Sonys that I really like. But bought a FiO amp to push those, man, because I developed an addiction. But
you and Tom.
Yes. So Tom actually. So if you're not familiar with him, Tom's our UK editor. He sent me a message this morning on Google+. He bought a new desktop amp. The amp that I got is a like portable amp. I don't have a desktop amp because I'm not sitting at my desk very often, and I figured I'd just start with a portable amp and see how it goes. He has a couple of desktop amps, but he bought a new tube amp because he found a good deal on it, and so he sent me a message this morning. It was like, "Hey, man, you jealous? I got a tube amp for my desktop." So it really is. It's an addiction, man. So, but it's fun. But yeah, that'll do it for the Android Headlines Show, episode 94. You can find us on Twitter at Android Headline without the S, on Google Plus and Facebook. You can find all three of us on the website androidheadlines.com. We're on Twitter and Google Plus too. We don't do a whole lot with Facebook, but at least I don't personally. But you can probably find me on there if you try real hard. But yeah, Nick, Alex, it's always a good time hanging out, man. Thanks for talking Android with me tonight.
Yep. See everybody next week.
Later, dudes.